Well, welcome. This is Brother Eric John Phelps coming to you today with Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy on First Amendment Radio. Thanking you for tuning in. This broadcast is for white men who speak English, white men who are Bible-believing, white men of the race of white Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Slavic, men who have believed the gospel in the past and from which we have descended. And thus, this broadcast is intended primarily for our edification, even though those of you who may not be of our race, language, culture, and biblical holding can still benefit. But this is the first broadcast that I know of in the country that is has this particular stand and is for the benefit of what I call my people, my white Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, and Baptist people, the most discriminated, the most hated, the most maligned people on the face of the earth, especially in North America. And it is time we began to vindicate the history of our fathers. One of the ways in vindicating that history is to go after our great enemies, the Jesuit order, now ruling the papacy, and now ruling the United States of America, and having ruled the United States of America for the last at least 120 years. Thus, this is a warfare between righteous white men and wicked white men. The wicked white men being the Black Pope's international Freemasonic white power structure that oppresses every race, every language, and every culture, but oppresses us the most. Therefore, we shall begin today with what the Jesuit order has done to us financially over the last month, in fact, over the last 10 years. And we are going to see that the Vatican is consolidating all of its financial power in North America into a handful of banks that will be fed by the devils, by the Pope's Federal Reserve Bank, which will act as a de facto nationalization of our banks. And when that happens, what we then will have is fascism. Fascism. Well, we shall begin with a passage of Scripture, and that passage is in 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. I can remember years ago when I was in English class with that battle axe of a teacher that I had in high school, Miss Best, who was never married and was very harsh and yet firm in her rules of grammar, for which I'm thankful today. She quoted this particular passage of Scripture and nobody in the class knew where it came from. I had no idea it was from the Bible. I never read the Bible. I was never taught the Bible at home. I was never taught the Bible in school. This is well after the removal of the Scriptures in 1962. And thus, I was raised in a pagan Roman Catholic culture where we were all ignorant of the Bible, and furthermore, we didn't care. Well, in 1 Timothy 6:10, we learn a maxim here that states that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not money. Money, it can be used for good or for evil, just like a gun. A gun can be used for good or for evil, just like a TV. A TV can be used for good or for evil. It's just like a bottle of wine. It can be used for good or evil. It depends on how it's used. And if we use it in moderation, and if we use it with wisdom, as we're exhorted by the Scriptures, it will be for the glory of God. There is nothing wrong with money. And we should labor with our hands that we might acquire money so that we can give to those in need in our family, in our community, so that we don't have to be dependent upon a government to give us bogus, worthless currency or extend to us credit. If we had a prosperous middle class, we would have businessmen that were making profits, and I would have a businessman friend, and I could go to him and say, "Now, my friend, my white brother here, you've been blessed in your business. May I get a loan from you?" And he'll say, "Okay, I can loan that to you. Here's my interest rate. If you want to do this, we'll sign a note, and it's a done deal." Why should I have to go to a bank to get a loan? If we were permitted, if we were not so hamstrung, there would be many wealthy men. In Lancaster County, where there's many Mennonites and many Amish men, many farmers, there's 9,000 millionaires. That's where it ought to be. Every one of us ought to be a millionaire so we can help each other out. And the government would never have to extend any credit to us because we don't need your credit. We have private wealth because we ordered our lives aright. God blessed us. We were able to make money. We were able to save it to give to those in need. Not to hoard it up like some vicious, evil pope hoarding his money in 100 banks across Europe and North America. And then that wicked sinner has the audacity when some poor little Mexican child comes up and says, "Oh, Holy Father, he has no shoes on." And the Pope says, "Oh, bless you." When he has many a cathedral with lots of gold in the shape of coins in those cathedrals, the Pope could easily take care of the poor in Mexico. But oh no! He's a vicious hoarder, a King Midas, who wouldn't give anything to anybody unless it was in exchange for your soul. And this is what he's done to us, white men, through Wall Street in this last couple weeks. The Pope is the greatest lover of money on the face of the earth because he is advised by that Jesuit general, Adolfo Nicholas, who's another great hoarder of gold and silver, and controller of the currencies of the world, so that they can ultimately control everything we think, do, eat. That's their end game. So now, understanding that the papacy has a tremendous love of money, we shall turn to Wiley's fantastic 3-volume work, one of the greatest Protestant histories ever written, called The History of Protestantism, Volume 2, Chapter 8, under the chapter of the Jesuits, page 412, quote, "The soldiers of Loyola are about to go forth. Before beginning the campaign, we see their chief assembling them and pointing out the field on which their prowess is to be displayed. The nations of Christendom are in revolt. It will be theirs to subjugate them and lay them once more, bound in chains, at the feet of the papal see. They must not faint. The arms he has provided them with are amply sufficient for the arduous warfare on which he sends them. Clad in that armor and wielding it as he has been at pains to instruct them, they will expel knowledge as night chases away the day. Liberty will die wherever their foot treads, and in the ancient darkness they will be able to rear again the fallen throne of the great hierarch of Rome. But it is the service. But if the service is hard, the wages will be ample. And the saviors of that throne, as the saviors of that throne, they will be greater than it. And though meanwhile their work is to be done in great show of humility and poverty, the silver and the gold of Christendom, and I say, nay, the world, will in the end be theirs. And they will be the lords of its lands and palaces, the masters of the bodies and souls of its inhabitants. And nothing of all that the heart can desire will be withholden from them if only they will obey him," the Jesuit general. Unquote. See, my white brethren, the Jesuits want all the gold and all the silver and all the money and all the lands and all the people and all the labor and everything under their control. That's always been their game. And that's what they've done to us Americans now through their power on Wall Street. Now let's take a look at their power on Wall Street, because this is part of the refutation I'm going to be using for a debate that I will be in with a gentleman named Ogner on next Wednesday. And he will be putting forth the proposition that the Jews run the New World Order, the Jews run the banking. I will be putting forth the proposition the Jesuit order and the papacy run the New World Order, and the Jesuits rule the banking. Now let's take a look and see. There's an article on the web called Cluster Stock. The title of it is Treasury Seizing Stakes in 9 Big Banks. We read, well, now we know why the heads of the 9 families were summoned to Washington today, to have capital shoved down their throats. The Treasury will be taking preferred equity stakes in 9 big banks. The WS says, despite the fact that many didn't want the money. Well, who were these banks? Now remember, it's the Federal Reserve that creates credit out of nothing. It's created $700 billion of credit out of nothing, with no collateral, and it doesn't need to. Isn't that nice? It's kind of like magic. Yeah, the Federal Reserve boys are magicians. They're financial magicians, and all of a sudden, at the stroke of a pen and at the entrance of a figure, they can create credit, and credit then, when it's used, is transmitted into wealth. Now that is priestcraft. Well, which banks are they talking about? Well, the list is as follows. Number one, Goldman Sachs, $10 billion. Number two, Morgan Stanley, $10 billion. Number three, J.P. Morgan, $25 billion. Number four, Bank of America, $25 billion. Number five, Citigroup, $25 billion. Number six, Wells Fargo, $20 to $25 billion. Number seven, Bank of New York Mellon, $2 to $3 billion. Number eight, State Street, $2 to $3 billion. And number nine is Merrill Lynch, remembering that Merrill Lynch is now part of Bank of America. So let's take a look at these 9 banking institutions and see now if they're run by the Jews, or if they're run by white Gentiles, and white Gentiles that can be connected to the Jesuit order, either through education, knighthood, or their affiliation in Cardinal Egan's Council on Foreign Relations. Let's see if we can make a connection here. Well, to begin with, since the Federal Reserve Bank is the one extending credit to these 9 banks, let's take a look at the origin of the Federal Reserve Bank, or some of its affiliations, or some of the men that have been in it. Well, number one, J. Pierpont Morgan was the super banker for North America from around 1880 to 1913 when he died. J. P. Morgan was a papal knight. J. P. Morgan was an Episcopalian. J. P. Morgan died in a hotel in Rome in a suite that was $500 a day. If J.P. Morgan wasn't busy serving the Pope, what in the name of Christ was he doing in Rome? According to Edmund Paris in his work, The Vatican Against Europe, he mentions that J.P. Morgan was the Vatican banker for America in his day. So it's out of J.P. Morgan that will come the Federal Reserve Bank. Now let's take a look at a former head of the Federal Reserve Bank. The man's name is Timothy Geithner. Timothy Geithner, that's G-E-I-T-H-N-E-R, is the 9th president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. In that role, he also serves as vice chairman of the Federal Open Market Committee. In 1999, he was promoted to undersecretary of the Treasury, and he worked with Robert Rubin, who was one of the Pope's court Jews, involved in the Treasury also. 2001, he left the Treasury to join the Council on Foreign Relations as a senior fellow in the International Economics Department. He then worked for the International Monetary Fund as a director of the Policy Development Review Department until moving to the Fed in 2003. 2006, he became a member of the influential Washington-based financial advisory body, the Group of 30, and the Group of 30 is controlled by the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. just as he controls the Federal Reserve Board of Governors out of Washington, D.C., which includes Ben Bernanke. That little Jew wouldn't do anything without permission from the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. And if he would ever dare cross him, that would be the end of his governorship and probably the end of his life. Remember, it's the Jesuits who are stealing all the gold and all the silver of Christendom, which includes America, according to Wiley. It's Timothy Geithner. Now, the next individual, we see Paul Volcker. Paul Volcker was the head of the Federal Reserve Board. He was a Jew, is a Jew, CFR member. He got one of his degrees at the University of Notre Dame under the tutelage of Theodore Hesburgh. Theodore Hesburgh is one of the most powerful American priests who has ever lived. He's still alive. He's a professor emeritus. He has in excess of 140 earned and honorary degrees. He's a pilot of the SR-71. He worked in the Rockefeller Foundation. He's a member of the CFR. He's a member of the World Federalist. Theodore Hesburgh is a man of power. And Paul Volcker, this tall Jew, was one of the Pope's court Jews administering the Pope's Federal Reserve Bank. And notice also here that he received a degree from Fairfield University in 1994. Fairfield University out of Connecticut is run by the Jesuits. And he also received a degree from Georgetown University in 2007. Georgetown University is run by the Jesuits. Do you see how these Federal Reserve governors are completely under the thumb and direction of the Jesuits, even though they are racial Jews, some of them? Now, let's go to another one. Herbert M. Allison. Herbert Monroe Allison was chairman, president, and CEO of TIAA CREF from November 2002 to 2008. After a short retirement period, he accepted the position of CEO of Fannie Mae in September 2008. Previously, he had been with Merrill Lynch from 71 to 99. He served as national finance chairman for U.S. Senator John McCain's 2000 presidential campaign. He is on one of the advisory boards of Yale's School of Management. This guy is a big guy, and he was on the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's International Advisory Committee. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York is where the Jesuits hold all their gold. That's where our gold was transferred from Fort Knox to Federal Reserve Bank basement in New York City over a 17-year period when they stole all of our gold. But here is one we want to see. We want to look at this E. Gerald Corrigan. Well, this is very intriguing. E. Gerald Corrigan, American banker, was the seventh president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Vice Chairman of the Federal Open Market Committee. Dr. Corrigan has been a partner and managing director in the office of the chairman of Goldman Sachs since 1996. Now, I want to caution you, simply because an organization has a Jewish name, Goldman and Sachs, doesn't mean it's run by Jews. And let's just take a look at the power of Mr. Corrigan here, having been with Goldman Sachs. Dr. Corrigan began his career at the New York Federal Reserve in 1968, where he remained for 25 years, becoming vice president in 1976 and serving as a special assistant to Federal Reserve Board Chairman Paul Volcker in Washington, D.C. Now, what he was is he was Paul Volcker's advisor. He was Paul Volcker's Martin Bormann. He was Paul Volcker's Edward Mandel House. He was Volcker's advisor. And why? Well, let's take a look and look at his education. Dr. Corrigan earned a bachelor's degree in economics from Fairfield University in 1963. Fairfield is a Jesuit, one of 28 Jesuit universities in this country, and it is situated in Connecticut. He received a master's degree in 1965 and a PhD in 1971, both in economics from Fordham University. So this Mr. Corrigan here is a absolute and total Jesuit temporal coadjutor, trained by Jesuits, this Irish Roman Catholic, the seventh president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and while Walker was the head of it, the sixth president, he was advising him. The Federal Reserve Bank is run by the Jesuits, and the Federal Reserve Bank is modeled after the papacy. I quote to you from a book titled Secrets of the Temple, How the Federal Reserve Runs the Country by William Grider, G-R-E-I-D-E-R. Simon Schuster, we look on page 55. Richard Syron, S-Y-R-O-N, a vice president of the Boston Fed, who served for a time as special assistant to Walker, and here's another Irish Catholic, suggested that the institutional temperament and structure of the Federal Reserve System most resembled the Catholic Church. It doesn't say the synagogue of Satan. It says the Catholic Church, in which he had been raised. Quote, the system is just like the church. That is, the Federal Reserve System is just like the church. It's probably why I feel so comfortable with it. It's got a pope, the chairman, and a college of cardinals, the governors and bank presidents, and a curia, the senior staff. The equivalent of the laity is the commercial banks. If you're a naughty parishioner in the Catholic Church, you come to confession. In this system, if you're naughty, you come to the discount window for a loan. We even have different orders of religious thought, like Jesuits and Franciscans and Dominicans, only we call them pragmatists, monetarists, and neo-Keynesians, unquote. Here it is, the Federal Reserve System likened to the Catholic Church by an Irish Catholic himself who was a special assistant to Paul Walker. If we look in Avril Manhattan's work, The Vatican Billions, he also tells us that the Vatican has gold stored in the Federal Reserve Bank. Now I'll tell you, if there were a bunch of Jews running the Federal Reserve Bank, do you think the papacy would allow them to hold its gold if those Jews weren't subordinate to the Pope? No way! No way! If I was the Pope, I wouldn't. Anybody that holds my gold better be my servant and do what I tell him. Otherwise, you're not holding my gold. Doesn't that make sense? Okay, we see that the Federal Reserve is controlled by the Jesuits. It's modeled after the papacy. The Federal Reserve Board, the governor of the Federal Reserve is the Pope. Now, let's take a look at these big nine banks. We shall review these nine banks after we come back from station identification. And they are Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of New York Mellon, and State Street Corporation. This is Brother Eric John Phelps, Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy. We shall return and show you how the Jesuits are controlling these biggest banks of the country. Amen. Brother John Phelps, Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy, returning to you on this beautiful Wednesday as we begin to examine these nine big banks that the Jesuits in control of the Federal Reserve Bank, as well as the U.S. Congress through special individuals, have granted over $700 billion. And they're going to hold us working stiffs, as collateral for this debt, which spells slavery for us. So we need to understand these men who have done this to us, and we need to resist them wherever we might be, whether we're a lawyer, a judge, a doctor, economist, a journalist. We need to set our sights on exposing the power of this Jesuit order in our country, that we might not be destroyed. Because if this persists, we will be destroyed. They love money, they love gold and silver, they've hoarded it all, and now they're moving in for the kill. But you know, the Lord always raises up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. And you know, my white brethren, that's you. That's you. You have the honor to be in the place of the standard that the Lord raises up against these evil, wicked, sinful, spiritual bastards who hate the Bible, who hate the Reformation, who hate the middle class, and who hate progress. If you don't believe the Jesuits hate progress, you just read Pope Pius IX's Syllabus of Errors, where he condemns completely and totally modern progress. How can you have modern progress if you have a banking system that's wrecked? Alright, the first bank we're looking at is Goldman Sachs. Now, the chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs at this moment is Lloyd Blankfein, obviously a racial Jew. Gary Cohen, president and chief operating officer, who is a racial Jew. And John Winkelried, which appears to be, by that last name, a racial Jew. He's president and chief operating officer. So we have token Jews manning Goldman Sachs. But we have some very powerful papal knights that have been with Goldman Sachs. And I will read to you this man's name. His name is Jeffrey T. Biasi. Jeffrey T. Biasi. He's a knight of Malta, a Roman Catholic. Mr. Biasi is a trustee of the Carnegie Corporation of New York, the chairman and senior partner of Roundtable Investment Partners, a general partner in the Rhone Group, special limited partner of the Tremont Group, member of the board of directors of Freddie Mac. Wow. So here's the Knight of Malta on the board of directors of Freddie Mac. Do you think this Knight of Malta had anything to do with the crash of Freddie Mac? Do you think they crash certain of their institutions for their own benefit? Of course they do. An overseer of the Wharton School, by the way, the Wharton School of Economics is the most prominent economic school there in New York City, and Donald Trump, that night of Malta, attended that after he attended Jesuit Fordham. A trustee of the Orders Boston College, so he's a trustee of the Jesuit Orders Boston College. A director of CFR-controlled Brookings Institute. He is a trustee of Knight of Malta Joe P. Kennedy Enterprises. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. That's right, Alex. Alex Jones, let's bring in the Knight of Malta, Jeffrey T. Biasi, as a member of the Trilateral Commission, and let's take that to Rome. Let's blame the Pope now, as we ought to. Trustee of the Papal Foundation. Mr. Biasi has been vice chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase, serving as CEO of J.P. Morgan, evidencing the bond between both Morgan and Rockefeller empires. And by the way, I'll get into this, the J.P. Morgan Chase came out of Chemical Bank. And Chemical Bank was strictly run by the Knights of Malta. J. Peter Grace, who ran his W.R. Grace & Company out of New York City, banked with Chemical Bank. I studied him. He had 11 Knights of Malta on his board with him. J.P. Morgan Chase is a continuation of the Knights of Malta Chemical Bank. He is a founding member of the Beacon Group, later acquired by Chase. He's a senior member of Goldman Sachs, serving as a partner in charge of global finance. So here's this Knight of Malta, Jeffrey T. Biasi, B-O-I-S-I. Google him. And this guy is a man of power at Goldman Sachs. So even though the name is Jewish, the Knights of Malta run it. Receiving the Cancer Research Institute's of Oliver R. Grace Award and honored by John Paul II as a steward of St. Peter. So Biasi is nothing more than one of the great merchants, one of the kings of the earth, the great merchants of the earth serving Rome, that great city. And he is a partner in charge of global finance at Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is to be given $10 billion in this gift from the Federal Reserve Bank through the American Congress. By the way, that Barack Obama and John McCain both voted for, so what's the difference? You white men that go to vote in these federal elections, and if you vote for Obama or you vote for McCain, you're giving a mandate for those sinners to tell you what to do, and they both serve the Pope! When are we going to wake up and advocate secession? That no matter which horse is running, the House owns them both and the House wins on them both. It's worse than a casino. It's Goldman Sachs. On September 21st, 2008, the Federal Reserve approved the transition from an investment bank to a bank holding company, as it did Morgan Stanley, ending investment banking on Wall Street. There is no more investment banking on Wall Street. They're all holding companies now. They're safer, quote-unquote, for the Pope. Well, Goldman Sachs is the first one, controlled by Rome through the Knights of Malta. The second one, Morgan Stanley. We just mentioned Morgan Stanley. Again, on September 21st, the Federal Reserve allowed Morgan Stanley to change status from an investment bank to a bank holding company. And those were the last two banks, Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, as investment banks. There are no more investment banks in the country. On October 14th, which was what, a day or so ago, yesterday? Yeah. Mitsubishi of Japan bought 21% of Morgan Stanley. The Jesuits in control of Morgan Stanley having been born out of J.P. Morgan's bank, Bonesmen are in it. They are now beginning to divest into communist China. Isn't that nice? We Americans that made Morgan Stanley all this money, we made it the bank that it became. Now it's giving our wealth to our enemies that have every intention of invading us in the future. The huge Chinese army that's being built is being built by American firms like Morgan Stanley. How do you like that, my white brother? As the Vatican is going to cut our throats using Chinese murderers when they arrive on our shores. Just remember, when they get here, you paid for it. Just remember, when they get here, you kept filing your 1040s when you didn't know it because you were not in the public sector. If you're like me, you were working with your hands, bloodying up your hands every day, trying to hatch out a living, doing a job for somebody, and they paid you after you were finished. You weren't working for the federal government. The Internal Revenue Code doesn't apply to you. Go to LostHorizons.com. Get Cracking the Code by Hendrickson. Learn his work. And you're paying for your destruction, my white brethren, if you keep paying and you allow this to happen on Wall Street, that Mitsubishi, these Japanese, who hate Americans, who still blame us for Hiroshima and Nagasaki when they were ground bursts, assembled by the Jesuits on the ground in Japan and then detonated with the aid of the Japanese high command so we could be blamed for it, while Curtis LeMay's B-29s flew overhead and dropped the magnesium flash bombs laced with uranium and plutonium, while the Jesuits were on the ground flipping the switch and were shielded underneath the devices, and then when they emerged unscathed, why, they attributed their survival to a miracle of the Virgin Mary. And the Japanese people can't wait to invade us and get even for Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because they offered terms of surrender that were fair, and the Jesuits in control of the U.S. government said no way, because they had to create their airborne nuclear war hoax. Well, Mitsubishi is getting our wealth. And the capital, and in 2007 there was a capital infusion from China of $5 billion, so that by 2010, China would own 10% of Morgan Stanley's shares. So the Japanese will control 21%, the Chinese will control 10%. I would say that they have controlling interests nearly in Morgan Stanley. And who were the traders at Morgan Stanley who did this? Well, one of them is John T. Mack. John T. Mack, this Irishman, this white Gentile, actually he's a Greek Orthodox. He's chairman and CEO. So, Morgan Stanley is run by a white Gentile, not a Jew. And a white Gentile that is beholden and subservient to the Pope of Rome. John T. Mack was protected. He was shielded from questioning. When the SEC investigators interviewed Mack on August 1st, 2006. So he's protected. Mack is untouchable. He won't be tried for treason. He's untouchable. He's an insider trader. And that insider trading, that evil dishonesty was carried over in selling off our assets to China and Japan. Are you getting mad yet? Are you white men getting angry yet at what's being done to you and your families and your wives and your children? Look at your little boys. Look at your little girls. And ask yourself, do they have a future here? And if the answer is no, we have to do something about it. Or just go down and buy some manacles at the hardware store and put the chains on our children's ankles and tell them to get used to it. It's time, men of God who know the Lord, to be angry, to have righteous anger over what's been done to us by these savages on Wall Street. Number four, Bank of America. Bank of America. Well, Bank of America was started by the Jesuits out of San Francisco by a papal knight named Gianni. But let's take a look in the Vatican Billions by Avril Manhattan and see what he has to say about the Bank of America. Well, he writes on page 184, quote, "Even more telling is the fact that 50 years ago they, the Jesuits, furnished A.P. Gianni, G-I-A-N-N-I-N-I, an Italian promoter, with half of the starting capital for the Bank of America. Today, the Jesuits still own 51% of the stock." Unquote. Now, this was in San Francisco. I was raised near San Francisco. And this was on North Beach. Well, North Beach is where they have all the strippers. And when I was unsaved and in high school, my buddies and I used to go over to North Beach and try to sneak in and watch the strippers. Well, it's all run by the Vatican. That's where the Bank of America originated, on North Beach. And Chiniquy says in his book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, that the Jesuits were in control of San Francisco since no later than 1850. And since Wells Fargo, which we will be examining a little later, that originates in San Francisco, the Jesuits run Wells Fargo too. And with the merger of Wells Fargo and Wachovia, now it's another super bank, and we're going to see that then the Bank of America and Wells Fargo are going to be working together. Oh, what a deadly web we weave when we practice to deceive. What a banking system we are creating from which no one will be able to escape. And our IRS will have so much wonderful absolute power in auditing people because they will all have to go. They will have to go into these huge systems and they don't have to go through all these multitudinous banks that people have their money in. It'll only be a few banks. Are you getting angry yet? Are you being bothered yet, my white brethren in Christ? We'll go on. Avril Manhattan. He says here on page 191. Well, I'll go to 190. "The tiara, however, far from reaching the poor of the world, somehow ended up as a private possession of the ablest ecclesiastical financial wizard of America, Cardinal Spellman." Cardinal Spellman was trained by Jesuits. Cardinal Spellman had a special room over here at the Jesuit of Isaac Jacques here in Warnersville, Pennsylvania, room number 3. He was the abject tool of the Jesuit order, and that's what made him a financial wizard. It's because the Jesuits are the financial wizards. On page 191 we read, the two extremes appear to be the Jesuits and their opposites, the Palatines. The pugnacious Jesuits, about 8,000 in the U.S. alone, out of 35,000 in the order, by 1983-84, had increased their income to between $300 to $350 million and were the controllers, even if tangentially, of the biggest bank in the world, the Bank of America, unquote. Well, the Jesuits indeed controlled the biggest bank in the world, the Bank of America. It became the biggest bank of the world by 1945. The Jesuits provided the capital for its startup and own now, I would say, over 51% of the stock. They run Bank America. And the Bank America card that we used to take, those of us who are a little older, it's now the Visa card. The Visa card is the Jesuit Bank America credit card. Welcome to Jesuit USA. And by the way, the acrostics involving Visa come out to 666, too. Well, continuing on, who's the head of the Bank of America? Why, he is a white Gentile named Kenneth D. Lewis. Kenneth D. Lewis. And Bank of America also has many, many branches. You can check it out. But another I have working in it is a guy by the name of John Thane. John Thane used to be with Wachovia. Now he's a big kingpin in the Bank of America. Bank of America acquired Fleet Boston in 1999, I believe. Well, in 2004, Fleet Boston was acquired by Bank of America. It acquired Nations Bank, and Bank of America merged into the new Bank of America in 1998. Do you see how the Jesuits are controlling all the mergers? They're consolidating all their financial power into the hands of a few banks that they control. And John Thane, he is now the current president of Global Banking, Securities, and Wealth Management of Bank of America. He was also the last chairman and chief executive officer of Merrill Lynch, remembering that Bank of America purchased Merrill Lynch. And what's John Thane's salary? Well, you'll like this. $83 million for Federal Reserve notes. Previously, Mr. Thane held management positions at the New York Stock Exchange, CEO. This papal knight, this Roman Catholic, was the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange. And Goldman Sachs, president, chief operating officer, chief financial officer, he amassed 300 million Federal Reserve notes in Goldman stock. It was widely believed that Mr. Thane was also a front runner to head Citigroup. Merrill Lynch and Citigroup sought new leaders. He is also a member of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's International Council Advisory Committee. Don't tell me the Jews run the Federal Reserve Bank when this papal knight, John Thane, is on its advisory board. John Thane graduated from Yale University. Pardon me. He grew up in Antioch, Illinois, earned a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from MIT, MBA from Harvard Business School. John Thane is a slave of the Pope. And he's also a member of the board of the National Urban League, which is the Pope's design to give preferential treatment to the blacks in the country. And I have a picture in my book of the head of the Urban League standing with Cardinal Spellman and Jesuit John Lafarge. You see, the Jesuits just use the blacks. They don't want to have any better. They're just using them to wreck the white race. And so this guy is a member of that same Urban League. John Thane. Kenneth D. Lewis. Kenneth D. Lewis, another papal knight, head of Bank of America. These are Jesuit men of power. And the founder of Bank of America is A.P. Guion, an Italian Roman Catholic who you need to check out. Amato Ghiani. And remember also the Bank of America purchased Countrywide. Countrywide Mortgage. Countrywide Financial. And Countrywide Financial, I maintain, was deliberately crashed so that it could be purchased for pennies on the dollar by Bank of America. Why do you think Countrywide Mortgage extended loans, mortgages to blacks and Mexican Roman Catholics who couldn't pay the mortgage? They weren't doing it to be nice. They were doing it to justify the bankruptcy or the coming bankruptcy of Countrywide, so rather than let it go bankrupt, Bank of America could buy it for pennies. That's just what the Jesuits do. We need to learn their designs. Well, that's Bank of America. So we've covered Goldman Sachs. We've covered Bank of America. We've covered Morgan Stanley. We've covered the Federal Reserve. And we will continue tomorrow with the four banks yet to be covered. I'm sure you will be intrigued. But some of these men in the banks have actually been trained by Jesuits at their institutions and run it for the Jesuit order. This is Brother Eric John Phelps, Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy. I trust this is helpful for you in your discerning of what's going on Wall Street, and that you may wisely do with your money what the Lord would have you to do. And one of the first things is get it out of the hands of the Jesuits. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. It's in a CD and it's in book form. I have a PowerPoint CD that I gave at the CONCON in just last June. I added over 100 slides. I think it's very important. It's for 20 Federal Reserve notes. I have the Engineer Corps of Hell for 10. I have the My Jesuit Watch newsletter. Well, my second one will be going out here shortly, within a week or so. And if you want to subscribe to the Jesuit Watch, you can call me at 610-589-5300. 610-589-5300. Subscribe to the Watch for this year. You'll get three issues, plus the PowerPoint, plus the Engineer Corps of Hell, for a very low 40 Federal Reserve notes. And I'm probably going to raise the price of the newsletter next year, because shipping's a lot. So, please contact me, purchase these things for your edification, and I also do some counseling. My price is $50, 50 Federal Reserve notes per half an hour. You may call me at 610-589-5300, and I would be happy to give you the history of the Jesuits and so on. Now I request, and if you also, you may go to biblio.com and order my book. Just go to Biblio, you can order it with PayPal, or go to av1611reformation.com and order it there. And you may also support First Amendment Radio. Now, I've not been able to talk about Brother Nicholas too often, but I want to tell you that Brother Nicholas is one of the most generous men I've ever met. He never, ever tells me what to preach or teach. He questions some things sometimes. But he's kind enough to have this broadcast, because I could never pay for it. So please, before you get anything from me, send a donation to First Amendment Radio. Brother Nicholas, we'll thank you for the broadcast. This is Brother Eric John Phelps, Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy. We shall return tomorrow, Lord willing, and finish up Jesuit Banking. Amen. Well, welcome, Brother Eric John Phelps. Coming to you today, this beautiful Thursday, this really Indian summer day here in Pennsylvania, on October 16th, 2008. And this will be the second part of the what I am calling the great Jesuit financing of Wall Street and its breakdown to 9 banks, and the control or the help or coming to the aid or gifting to these banks by the Jesuit orders, the Black Pope's Federal Reserve Bank. Now that's a novel thought here in the midst of many conspiracy theorists. Historians, that it is the Jesuit order and the Black Pope that controls the Pope's Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, not the Jews. It is not Jew York. It is Jesuit York. And so the great decision that we Americans will have to make in the very near future is, did the Jews cause this great financial meltdown in Wall Street, or was it the Jesuit order? And that choice will determine our nation's destiny. That one choice right there. So it is my purpose to show you the scripture of truth, how we indeed live during the times of the Gentiles, and that Jerusalem is trodden down by the Gentiles and will continue to be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grand and glorious revelation, when every eye shall see Him, and not a day before. Thus, we are in the times of the Gentiles, pursuant to Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And thus, Gentiles rule the world's governments. Gentiles rule the world's finances. Gentiles rule the world's academia. Gentiles rule the world's religion. That even includes Judaism. Gentiles rule it all, and specifically white Gentiles, because I believe in the supremacy of the white race as evidenced by the cultures that it builds for good and evidenced by the horrible, terrible conspiracies that it carries out for evil. That's why I call this the Pope's international white power structure centered in Rome. And thus the devil has chosen the white race for his greatest accomplishments, even as the Lord has chosen the white race for his greatest accomplishments. White supremacy is a historical fact that we must accept if we are going to understand the present day. There is no such thing as universal equality among the races and nations. It doesn't exist in humanity. It doesn't exist among equestrians. It doesn't exist among nature. It's non-existent. There's no such thing as universal equality anywhere, anytime, any place. And we should not be striving for it. Don't you like to see a redwood tree in contrast to a blade of grass? What if there was no grass? What if there was no bushes? What if all dogs were the same? What if every dog was a poodle? God forbid. Never forget my sister's poodle, Caesar. Couldn't stand him. Don't we enjoy German shepherds and Rottweilers and wire-haired terriers and every other kind of dog? Don't we enjoy Arabian horses and quarter horses and Appaloosas and a host of other different kinds of horses? Why don't we just all race mix the horses and have one big horse? Why don't we race mix all the dogs and have one dog only? Why don't we race mix all the peoples and have just one kind of person? Because it's antichrist. It's evil and it's wicked. And furthermore, in exposing the wicked white power structure that the devil uses to rule his present world empire, we are now going to continue our investigation into the banking system of New York City. Again, reiterating the article of yesterday on cluster stock of October 14th around 9:10 a.m., we were informed that the Federal Reserve Bank, in extending its $700 billion line of credit to the Congress, the Congress is going to be bailing out Goldman Sachs to the tune of $10 billion, Morgan Stanley to the tune of $10 billion, J.P. Morgan to the tune of $25 billion, Bank of America to the tune of $25 billion, Citigroup to the tune of $25 billion, Wells Fargo and Company to the tune of $25 billion, Bank of New York Mellon to the tune of $2 to $3 billion, and State Street to the tune of $2 and $3 billion. Well, we covered Goldman Sachs and we covered Morgan Stanley. And today we're going to cover a little bit more on the Federal Reserve Bank to show that it is controlled by the Pope's papes. And we are also going to show that all these banks, these nine banks, including Merrill Lynch, which is not listed here, purchased by Bank of America, every one of them except one, is run by white Gentiles, every one of them. There is only one at present that's run by a Jew, but he's subject to the Pope. We will also see that the only house allowed to fail, Lehman Brothers, was run by a Jew. A white Gentile was not running Lehman Brothers at the time it dropped and fell. And that Jew, Richard Fuld, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he is also a member on the directory or board of directors of the Federal Reserve Bank. So this Jew, Richard Fuld, is a traitor to his own Jewish people. He agrees to get rid of Lehman Brothers, obviously, because if he was really a rebel and refused to go along with it, he'd be screaming to high heaven, "Come on my program, Mr. Fuld, and tell me the story. You're welcome to come on anytime you wish. Let's go after the Jesuits together. It's time you stuck up for your own Jewish people in New York City, because they're being set up for annihilation. They're being set up to be blamed for this entire Wall Street fiasco. Why don't you come on my program and tell us the truth, if you dare?" Okay, we covered those two banks yesterday. Now I want to go back into the Federal Reserve again, because I think there are many of you who believe that the Jews run the Federal Reserve, and we've heard this for years, and Phelps got to be out of his mind to think that the Federal Reserve is run by the Pope. Well, let's go back. Yesterday I read to you the secrets of the temple, how the Federal Reserve is patterned exactly after the Catholic Church. Please listen to the previous broadcast. Now we will go a little bit more into Avro Manhattan. Well, we're going to go now to a site on Wikipedia, and they have some things that are truthful here, so I'll just take the high points. You can't lie about certain obvious truths. And so we shall begin here at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Now, there are 12 Federal Reserve Banks. That's why it's a Federal Reserve Banking System. The Board of Governors meets in Washington, D.C. It is not one of the 12 Federal Reserve Banks. That's where the centralization of power is, in Washington, D.C., of course, because that's where the Jesuits ruled the capital from Georgetown University and Catholic University of America. That's where the Papal Nuncio resides, in Washington, D.C. Georgetown University is just 4 miles away from the Capitol. Georgetown rules the Capitol. Georgetown rules the Federal Reserve Bank, the Board of Governors. And Fordham University, in conjunction with two other universities, Jesuit universities, run the New York Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the one of the 12, it's the greatest of the 12, because it's there that the Jesuits have their gold hoard. Remembering, as we covered yesterday in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love for the root of all evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money, it's the love of it. When you love money, you'll do anything for it. Then you're an unsaved, wicked sinner doomed for hell. And that's what these wicked, unsaved Jesuit sinners doomed for hell are doing. They'll do anything for money, and they'll steal everything they can get their hands on. And they've done it to our wealth here in America. So it's time we woke up, white men, for whom the broadcast is for, and realize the Jesuit order, those wicked white Gentiles, have taken our wealth from us. Well now, Federal Reserve Bank of New York is the most important of the 12 Federal Reserve Banks of the United States. It is located at 33 Liberty Street, New York, New York, with a secondary office in Buffalo, New York. Does that ring a bell with any of you? I remember when I was passing through Lower New York, and I stopped by a Catholic church to visit it, because one of the things I do is I go in every Catholic church I can see, and I check out all the symbolisms. I check out its design. I see if the Jesuits are involved. You know, I check out the Vatican Empire. The churches are not churches. They're ambassador suites, for lack of a better term. So as I check out the Empire, I check out their various hotels. Well, I talked to one priest in there, and we got to talking about the Jesuits, and he said the Jesuits are very powerful in Buffalo. So I went and checked it out. And lo and behold, I found that there is a college in Buffalo by the name of Canisius College, named after a famous German Jesuit. So now in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, it's not only under the aegis of Fordham University in the Bronx, but it is also near and in the same region of the Jesuit Canisius College, of which Hillary Clinton has spoken at many times. Continuing. It is responsible for the second district of the Federal Reserve System, which encompasses New York State, the 12 northern counties of New Jersey, Fairfield County in Connecticut. Why would they add Fairfield County in Connecticut? Isn't that a little bit out of the way? Well, it just so happens there's a Jesuit university in Connecticut in Fairfield County called Fairfield University. Is this beginning to make sense to you now? A little bit? So, the district, the second district of the Federal Reserve System, of which the Federal Reserve Bank of New York is the head, in that district there are three Jesuit universities. And those Jesuits, you can know, are educating the young who are going through their universities to ultimately man the Federal Reserve Bank, and we will see them in a few minutes. Remember, the Jesuit universities are the military fortresses in which they, from which they conquer a country in which they're situated. Continuing on. The New York Fed was open for business on November 16, 1914, under the leadership of Benjamin Strong, Jr., who was previously president of the Bankers Trust Company. He led the bank until his death in 1928. The bank grew rapidly during the early years, necessitating the need for a new home. 33 Liberty Street. And by the way, we'll get back to Benjamin Strong in a minute. A public competition for design of the building, and the bank was moved to its current location in 1928. 1 year before the stock market crash, 1 year after the creation of the American Lange, the American tongue of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. So Archbishop Patrick Cardinal Hayes of New York City creates the Knights of Malta here in America in 1927. 1928, the Federal Reserve Banks moved to the heart of New York City on Liberty Street. 1929 comes the crash, thanks to Roman Catholic Knight of Malta Joe Kennedy, one of the three Irish short sellers. You see how the Vatican so cleverly and cunningly sets its trap and then springs it, and nobody knows who sprung it? Continuing, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York maintains a vault that lies 86 feet below sea level, resting on Manhattan bedrock. By 1927, the vault contained 10% of the world's official gold reserves. By 1927, 10%? Currently, it is reputed the largest gold repository in the world, though this cannot be confirmed as Swiss banks do not report their gold stocks, and holds approximately 5,000 metric tons of gold bullion. That's $160 billion as of March 2008, more than Fort Knox. Well, all the gold has been taken out of Fort Knox over a 17-year period, and it has been transferred into the basement of the Federal Reserve Bank. And officially, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City has in excess of 600,000 gold bars. I have a picture of them in my book, Vatican Assassins. I also have a picture of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in Vatican Assassins. Pictures tell a thousand words. The gold hoard of North America is in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, and it, for the most part, is our gold! FDR gave title to the nation's gold in 1933 with a declaration of bankruptcy. That dirty Freemason, apostate Protestant sinner. And it wasn't long after World War II, when the Jesuits started moving it out of Fort Knox, right into their Federal Reserve Bank in New York City. And Dr. Peter Beter exposed this in around the 1970s, how Fort Knox had been robbed, how there was only junk gold in it, and it was all covered up. You need to get some of Dr. Peter Beter's audio letters concerning Fort Knox. And Dr. Peter Beter was a Roman Catholic who blew the whistle. Okay, so we have this gold hoard in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City. Now, in Avril Manhattan's great work, The Vatican Billions, written in 1983, we read on page 206. Well, we'll read a couple of verses before here, lines before. Similar concerns in which the Vatican's millions were invested and reinvested existed practically all over Europe. We have already glanced at the industrial, commercial, and financial concerns with global ramifications. The Vatican, as we have already reiterated, has large investments with the Rothschilds of Britain. Who runs who? The Rothschilds of Britain or the Vatican? France and America? With the Hambros Bank, that is white Gentile, Knight of Malta. With Credit Suisse, that is white Gentile in London and Zurich. In the United States, it has large investments with the Morgan Bank. Remember, Ben Strong was with J.P. Morgan when they set up the Federal Reserve Act, when they drew it up at Jekyll Island. Benjamin Strong was J.P. Morgan's agent to Jekyll Island. And according to Edmund Paris, J.P. Morgan was the Vatican's banker for North America. So no wonder the Vatican has investments with Morgan Bank, the Chase Manhattan Bank, they now being J.P. Morgan Chase in conjunction with Chemical Bank, the First National Bank of New York, the Bankers Trust Company, and others. The Vatican, as we have already seen, has billions of shares in the most powerful international corporations, such as Gulf Oil, Shell. Guess who controls the oil industry, folks? It's the Pope. He also controls Saudi Arabia. He controls OPEC. He controls Venezuela. He shut down our oil reserves in North America. You listen to Lindsey Williams, he will tell you that the men of power in this country deliberately shut down our oil reserves. Why? Because those men of power are kissing the slippered toe of the Pope. Continuing. Shell, General Motors, Bethlehem Steel, General Electric. General Electric provides most of the top electrical and magnetic technology for the building of anti-gravity craft in this country. All housed underground, the deep underground military bases. Without General Electric, there are no flying saucers. International Business Machines, that's IBM. Oh, now we have Thomas J. Watson, IBM and the Holocaust by Edwin Black. The Vatican's controlling IBM. TWA, Trans World Airlines. That's why we understand the conflict between Howard Hughes and TWA. And ultimately, Howard Hughes being taken over by the Vatican with their most faithful tool and Knight of Malta, who's still alive, Robert A. Mayhew. That's right, we name names on this broadcast because we're all about ready to... Continuing, at a conservative estimate, these amounts to more than $500 million in the U.S. alone. Continuing, the Vatican's treasure of solid gold has been estimated by the United Nations World Magazine to amount to several billion dollars. A large bulk of this is stored in gold ingots with the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, while banks in England and Switzerland hold the rest. My mind. Now, do you think the Pope would store his millions, billions in gold in banks that he didn't control? Do you think that he would allow accursed Jews that the Vatican has murdered for the last 1500 years that were his enemies? Do you think he would allow them to hold his gold? Why, it's absurd! It's the Pope's Federal Reserve Bank, and the Jews involved with it are just his court Jews, just his Hofjuden. Now, let's take a look at the past presidents of the Federal Reserve Bank. from New York City, where all the gold is. The first one was Benjamin Strong, Jr. He's a white Gentile. He was J.P. Morgan's man at Jekyll Island in the drawing up of the Federal Reserve Act. Then we have George L. Harrison. You might say, what about Warburg? Warburg, the token Jew, was at Jekyll Island too. That's right. But he was not a man of power. Just like in the mafia. Meyer Lansky was the mere treasurer for Lucky Luciano. Lucky Luciano tells us in his book, in the last will and testament of Lucky Luciano, Lansky didn't have a vote because he wasn't Sicilian. The devil always uses brilliant Jews to support his white Gentiles in any endeavor. But these Jews don't rule. Why? Because it's the times Gentiles. They are the tail of all nations, Deuteronomy 28. And this works out perfectly in an objective analysis of history. Benjamin Strong. Number two, George I. Harrison, 1928 to 1940. Another white Gentile. Alan Sproul, 1941 to 1956, another white Gentile. Alfred Hayes, 1956 to 1975, another white Gentile. Paul Vacher, 1975 to 1979. Oh, he's a Jew? Oh, sure he is. But he's a member of the Pope's CFR. And I believe he has an honorary degree from Jesuit Georgetown University. Paul Vacher kisses the feet of the Jesuits at Georgetown University, and thus it's the Jesuits of Georgetown University through Paul Vacher that is advising, that are advising Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama said one of his advisors is Paul Vacher. The Jesuits are secretly backing Barack Obama, and they are openly backing John McCain, which you shall comment on at another broadcast tomorrow specifically. Anthony M. Solomon, 1980 to 1985. Here's another Jew, but he's a member of the CFR. Brother Eric shall be back. I just heard the introduction here and shall return after station identification. Brother Eric John Phelps, Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy. We left off with naming the past presidents of the New York branch of the Federal Reserve Bank. Benjamin Strong Jr., George I. Harrison, Alan Sproul, Alfred Hayes, the two token Jews, Paul Vacher, Anthony M. Solomon. And now we get to three most significant white Gentiles. Gerald E. Corrigan. I touched on the fact yesterday that Gerald E. Corrigan was Jesuit-trained. He was Jesuit-trained and at Fairfield University in Connecticut, which is part of the second district of the Federal Reserve, of which the New York Federal Reserve Bank oversees. He also got his Ph.D. in economics in 1971 from Fordham, from the Jesuits at Fordham. Just like G. Gordon Liddy went to Fordham University. That wonderful man. That killer of Officer Tippit in Dallas. Okay, so now, this Jesuit temporal coadjutor, E. Gerald Corrigan, was the seventh president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, protecting the Pope's gold for him, and I would imagine that he is also a Knight of Malta. Now, here's another guy after him, William J. McDonough. He's the eighth president. What about him? I have him in my book. Well, he got his master's degree from Georgetown University from the Jesuits. And he got his bachelor's degree from the Jesuits at their Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. Jesuit trained to the hilt. He is also a Knight of Malta. He is also on the board of directors for the Bank of International Settlements. That World Bank, essentially. And he is also a director on the Council on Foreign Relations, through which the Pope rules the country. And he is also a member of the Group of 30, which is probably the world's top 30 bankers. William J. McDonough, this Irish Roman Catholic Knight of Malta, Jesuit-trained Jesuit coadjutor, was the eighth head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, guarding the Pope's gold. Now, I want to go back a little bit and talk about a man that very few of us have read anything about. During the days of Benjamin Strong, when he was the first Federal Reserve chairman, the first Federal Reserve president of the New York branch, there was a very powerful Irish Roman Catholic Irish American, we have to hyphenate these words, I'm sorry. We got African American, every other kind of American, we're going to call them Irish American too, so everybody knows they're white. And this guy's name is Thomas Fortune Ryan, and you can read about him in a book called Real Lace, America's Irish Rich by Stephen Birmingham. And in this tremendous book, on page 152, we read of Thomas Fortune Ryan. Ryan had ordered Baruch to get Duke, and at one point became so alarmed at the possibility that he would actually succeed that he rushed into Baruch's office saying, "I want to annoy them, not ruin them." But I knew he was pleased, Baruch commented. The result of the tobacco war, with stocks in the various companies being driven up and down by the two opponents and their hired manipulators, was that both Duke and Ryan ended up making huge profits, and both men were pleased. Ryan's operations went on to extend into coke, coal, oil, lead, and typewriters, namely Royal typewriters. I had one of those once. His activities spread from New York City to Ohio, Virginia, West Virginia, and Illinois, and into the Belgian Congo, where he was asked to reorganize the diamond mines by none other than King Leopold of Belgium himself. And remembering that King Leopold II of Belgium organized the mutual annihilation of 10 million Belgian Congolese blacks. Hey, you black folks, you might be listening. That shows you how much the papacy loves you. They love to kill you. And King Leopold II is a classic example of this. And there's a book you need to read called King Leopold's Ghost. It tells of this mass murder of over 10 million blacks in the Belgian Congo. It goes on here on page 152. Ryan had ordered Baruch to get Duke, and at one point became so alarmed at the possibility that he would actually succeed that he... Okay, I already read that, pardon me. Page 153. Thomas Fortune Ryan, at the age of 54, was worth $50 million. A few years later, he was worth $100 million. When he died, by the way, in 1928, he had $200 million, silver dollars, gold dollars, before they were ever confiscated, that he willed to his family. Thomas Fortune Ryan was one of the 10 wealthiest men in this country, and we never hear about him. Thomas Fortune Ryan was the master of Bernard Baruch. And it was Bernard Baruch that advised Woodrow Wilson to sign the Federal Reserve Act on December 23rd, 1913, at the behest of his massa, Thomas Fortune Ryan. Again, Bernard Baruch encouraged, advised Woodrow Wilson, the traitor, to sign into law 2 days before Christmas the Federal Reserve Act at the behest and order of Thomas Fortune Ryan. That Jew, Bernard Baruch, that Hofjuden for the Pope, was doing exactly what his Irish Catholic master told him to do. So that's Real Lace. Now, we touched Bernard Baruch, Corrigan. Now that's the portion I have today on the Federal Reserve Bank. The Federal Reserve Bank is run by the Pope for the benefit of the Pope to restore his New World Order, which is nothing more than a reversion back to the Pope's Dark Ages, in the words of Aleister Crowley, that he was for a feudal government run by initiated nobles. And that's exactly what we have now. The New World Order is the Pope's Dark Ages restored, overseen and run by high-level Freemasons, Knights of Malta, and any other order, the Constantinian Order, the Knights of St. Grady, all by initiated nobles. And those of us that were not in the club were nothing. As much as I can't stand the filthy mouth of George Carlin, and all the profanity that he used, that summation that he gave that one night was absolutely right on target. He could have only improved it if he would have said, and they are the Pope's Roman hierarchy overseen by the Jesuit order. But that would have got him killed within 24 hours. So the Federal Reserve Bank is run by Rome. Now, the Federal Reserve Bank is, and going back to our banking list here, the Federal Reserve Bank is going to give $25 billion with this bailout to the Bank of America. Well, the one who runs the Bank of America, or is the head, is another white Gentile by the name of Kenneth Lewis. Kenneth Lewis. The Bank of America was started by the Jesuits, and as I touched on yesterday, 51% of the stock back in 1983 was owned by the Jesuit order. And the buyout of Countrywide Financial was orchestrated through two Roman Catholics, because the head of Countrywide at the time was Angelo Mazzilio. And Angelo R. Mazzilio is a Roman Catholic, Italian-American. That's what they call themselves, Italian-Americans. They can't be called Americans now, you know. You got to be, if you're Roman Catholic, you got to hyphenate your race. I can't call myself a Swedish American or an English American or a Welsh American. I got to call that, you have to call yourself an Irish American, right? That means you're Catholic. I watched the Philadelphia parade on Columbus Day, and you got all those Italian Catholics, Italian Americans, waving their Italian flag. If you love Italy so much, go back to Italy. If you love Puerto Rico so much, go back to Puerto Rico. If you love Mexico so much, go back to Mexico. Don't wave that stinking flag in my face. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with America. And it's an abomination, and it ought to be illegal. Continuing on now, we have collusion between that Jesuit-trained Chris Dodd, and as a friend of Angelo, when he got a sweetheart deal, and McCain's even been talking about that. But you see, McCain and Chris Dodd are good brother Jesuit coadjutors. So Angelo Mazzilio and Kenneth D. Lewis worked together, I believe, in collusion to bring about that sweetheart deal when they bought up Countrywide mortgages. So now the Jesuits own and control all those mortgages through their Bank of America. Don't you like it now? Isn't that just wonderful that they control all this real estate? Well, on top of that, they also purchased Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch was known as the Catholic house on Wall Street for up until 1970. Isn't it interesting that the Bank of America would bail out Merrill Lynch, but they wouldn't bail out Lehman Brothers? Because you see, Lehman Brothers was run by a Jew, even though he was serving the Pope, but there were many Jewish holdings within Lehman Brothers. And so there are many broken, financially broken Jews now as a result of the crash of Lehman Brothers. And that's just what the Jesuits wanted. Lehman Brothers was the Jewish house. Merrill Lynch was the Catholic house. They saved the Catholic house and allowed the Jewish house to go down. What is this? It's the Council of Trent on Wall Street. Continuing, they also, John A. Thain now is, okay, they purchased not only Merrill Lynch, they purchased Nations Bank in 1998, Fleet Boston in 2004, MBNA in 2005, LaSalle Bank in 2007. The Jesuits, through their Bank of America, have been buying up everything. And the two big houses allowed to fail, Lehman Brothers, run by a Jew, Richard Fuld, and the other one, a bank, Washington Mutual, run by another Jew, Alan H. Fishman. And so now the Jesuits, they can begin to blame certain Jews for this whole collapse. Isn't that nice? Do you see how they work, my white brothers? Only a brilliant, devious white mind can work like this. That's why it takes righteous white men to resist these wicked, sinful white men. Will you join me? You trust the Lord? Okay, now, that's Bank of America. That's the fourth big bank. The fifth one is Citigroup. Citigroup was built by a Jew, Sanford I. Weil. but I believe it was taken over by the Knights in 2002. Today, it's headed by a German-British citizen. He has a dual citizenship in Germany and England, and it's Sir Winfried France Wilken Bischoff. Sir Bischoff. Isn't that nice? He's a foreigner running Citigroup. They're going to get $25 billion of our money. How nice. But the grab we really need to look at is this Charles O. Prince III. Charles O. Prince III. Let's take a look. Charles O. Prince III was, he succeeded Sandy Weill as CEO of the firm in 2003 and as the chairman of the board in 2006. Who is this Charles Prince? I wonder if he's any relation to Eric Prince of Blackwater. Maybe somebody could find that out for me. It says down here in history, Charles O. Prince III was born in California in 1950. He went to UCLA, University of Southern California, for his bachelor's degree, master's degree, and juris doctor. He continued his education, going on to receive a master's of law degree from Georgetown University. There he is. Jesuit Georgetown. So here we have another Jesuit coadjutor intimately involved in having headed Citigroup, now headed by this German foreigner, and they're going to get $25 billion. Another white Gentile. That's our next white Gentile. Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo is headed by a white Gentile named John Stump, and the chairman, his name is Dick Kavanovich, another white Gentile. So we got two white Gentiles, probably Roman Catholic, heading Wells Fargo, because Wells Fargo is out of San Francisco, and the Jesuits have ruled San Francisco since 1850, according to Father Charles Chiniqui in his great book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. And I quoted in my book, Vatican Assassins. Well, here we have two white Gentiles, John Stump and Dick Kavanovich, running Wells Fargo. And what does Wells Fargo do? Well, Wells Fargo purchases Wachovia. And now they're huge. That means every Wachovia bank in Pennsylvania is all run by Wells Fargo. And now Wells Fargo has a sweetheart deal with Bank of America to work together in financial transactions. And by the way, Wells Fargo's getting $25 billion too. Just give all your money to the Pope! If you don't want to resist the Pope, then fall down and serve him and give everything you own to him, because if you don't, they're going to take it anyway. That's right, my white brothers. Next one, J.P. Morgan Chase. This was the most interesting discovery. I asked myself, whatever happened to Chemical Bank? Chemical Bank was the bank that J. Peter Grace used to use for his W.R. Grace and Company. When I researched him 20 years ago, J. Peter Grace was the head of the American branch of the Knights of Malta. He was overseeing the Kennedy assassination for Cardinal Spellman, which includes Liakoka and Carthy DeLoach and Henry Luce and Alexander Haig and a host of others. Interesting that I can find these things, but the Justice Department can't find it! That tells you who controls justice in this country. So what happened to Chemical Bank? By the way, the head of J.P. Morgan Chase today is James Damone. And he is CEO, another white Gentile. Well, what happens? Chemical Bank, J.P. Morgan has in the past been headed by a Jesuit. And that Jesuit's name is Chris Lowney, a one-time managing director of American financial giant J.P. Morgan. A former Jesuit himself and graduate of the Jesuit Fordham University of New York, Lowney explained how each of the virtues can be applied to today's management. Pardon me, this type is so small I can hardly read it. But here we have Chris Lowney. He was a Jesuit, and he headed J.P. Morgan Bank. You see how the Jesuits run J.P. Morgan? And just find him on the web. It's under Catholic Education, Light of Truth. and look under Chris Lowney, L-O-W-N-E-Y. Another stinking Jesuit running the big banks. Well, what happened with Chemical Bank? Chemical Bank was run by the Knights of Malta. And in 1986, it acquired Texas Commerce Bank. At the end of 1991, it acquired Manufacturers Hanover Corporation. 1996, Chemical acquired Chase Manhattan Corporation. And continued under the Chase name until acquiring J.P. Morgan & Company in December 2000 to form J.P. Morgan Chase & Company. Throughout all these acquisitions, Chemical's original management team remained in charge of both the bank and its private investment group, J.P. Morgan Partners, until acquiring Bank One in 2004. J.P. Morgan is run by the Knights of Malta. And there is a telex from the J.P. Morgan office in New York City to the Vatican, according to Martin Lee in his great article, Who Are the Knights of Malta? So J.P. Morgan is getting $25 billion. That's number seven. Got two more to go. Bank of New York Mellon. Who's the head of this? Why, it's Robert P. Kelly. Another white Gentile. White Gentile Robert P. Kelly. CEO. Now what about this Robert P. Kelly? Who is this? He's the CEO. Well, just check out the Bank of New York Mellon Corporation. It's a global financial services company formed on July 1st, 2007. As a result of the merger of the Bank of New York and the Mellon Financial Corporation. Mellon was big in Pennsylvania, especially in the Pittsburgh area. So this is recently formed. It's only a little over a year old. And they're getting $2 to $3 billion from the bailout. Well, let's take a look at Robert P. Kelly, this white Gentile. Maybe we can learn something about him who heads this bank right now. Robert Kelly, Bob P. Kelly, born in 1954, CEO of the Bank of New York Mellon. Robert Kelly grew up in Nova Scotia and went to St. Mary's University in Halifax. Does that ring a bell with some of you? St. Mary's University in Halifax is a Jesuit university. Do you know who contributed millions of dollars to that university? And Lewis Mortimer Bloomfield. Bernard Bloomfield and Lewis Mortimer Bloomfield. Two Jews, racial Jews, who converted to Catholicism, became Knights of Malta. They financed that Jesuit institution, and they also were financing the Pope's David Ben-Gurion in Israel, in the Pope's Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. All of this at a St. Mary's University in Nova Scotia, Halifax. After getting an MBA in Cass Business School, he spent 19 years in Toronto Dominion Bank. He joined First Union as Chief Financial Officer in 2000, played a key role in its merger with Wachovia. So here now the Jesuits merging First Union with Wachovia, and then they're going to merge Wachovia with Wells Fargo. And Bill O'Reilly isn't telling us about this on Fox News, is he? Nor is Keith Olbermann, those sinners. Or Chris Matthews, that Jesuit. He then moved to Mellon Financial in February 2006 and sold to the Bank of New York within a year. He is the CEO of the new merged entity. This is the Jesuit, Robert Kelly, who is the CEO of the Bank of New York Mellon, another white Gentile. Number nine, State Street Corporation. They're getting $2 to $3 billion. Who's the CEO? Ronald Logue. L-O-G-U-E. Another white Gentile. And what can we find out about Ronald Logue, L-O-G-U-E, the CEO and chairman of State Street Corporation? Well, if we go to Wikipedia, I mean, even they'll tell us that Ronald Logue was trained by Jesuits at one of their colleges. And the college that he was trained at was Boston College. Ronald Logue is another Jesuit temporal coadjutor trained by the Jesuits at Boston College, and he is also on the board of directors of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. In fact, there is a Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, every one of them Jesuit cities with Jesuit universities, Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, Federal Reserve Bank of New Orleans, all with Jesuit universities in those cities. Every one of them. And they're getting $2 to $3 billion. So, these nine banks that are getting money as a result of this bailout, every one of them is run, has been run by white Gentiles except one, and he is a Pope's court, Pope's Jew, a member of the CFR. So let's dispel this nonsense that the Jews run the banking system on New York and Wall Street. Wall Street is the Pope's. It belongs to his Knights of Malta, high-level Freemasons, overseen by the Archbishop of New York, that same sinner who brought down the World Trade Center on 9/11. That same center who has orchestrated this financial crash so that they can nationalize our banks and the government controlled by the Pope can control every one of our assets, real and personal. This is Brother Eric John Phelps, Biblical Truth and History and Prophecy. Thanking you for tuning in today. I trust this was informative. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. It's in book form or CD. You may order that if you go to biblio.com and use PayPal. I have a PowerPoint that is very good and I think it's important for your library. That's 20 Federal Reserve notes. I have the Engineer Corps of Hell for 10. I have the Jesuit Watch for 40 a year. And if you purchase the Jesuit Watch for this year, I will add these works. Please support First Amendment Radio as it is kind enough and gracious enough to have me on. I don't know how long we'll be able to do this. I trust you get copies of these broadcasts. Keep them in your libraries. Check the information and facts that I give you. And know this. The Lord is on his throne and all is well. Continue to serve him and do his will according to the AV 1611. We shall meet tomorrow. Lord bless.